And good evening, everybody, or good morning, depending on when you're watching this. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our Bracket Rundown Show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, Joby Fortson, John Tytel, and Rocco Miller.
And everybody. I'm here, too. You always forget David. Me. It's as if you don't want me here. I'm the only one that is fighting the dark web right now. It's a conspiracy. Well, no one's taking it seriously.
I've been told not to acknowledge your existence.
It's been targeting Nebraska.
This is our Bracket Rundown Show, where we go ahead and we craft a bracket based upon where we think the teams are as of right now. We're going to switch things up a little bit this week. Past few weeks, what we have been doing is kind of creating a seed list. What we've done tonight a little bit different. All six members of our panel here have, including myself, have submitted their top 50 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I've done a little cross-country scoring of that, created a consensus seed list, went ahead and bracketed that, and we're actually going to do a bracket reveal show. So I guess it's a little, what is this, Greg Gumbel here going on here?
Well, I don't know. I think you should let me see it first. I mean, who's
there? It is, David.
Oh,
what do you think?
Well, it's blank. I can't take it. Who's in it? Did Nebraska get in? Did Nebraska get in?
We will find that out in a little while.
You're not all. You all aren't part of this, are you?
But what we are going to do is reveal. I'm going to start doing the top 16 teams. We're going to reveal one team at a time. We're going to do a little discussions about them. Then after that, we'll do one full seed row at a time until we get done with everything. We'll also look at some of the top teams out that people voted for but did not get in, and we'll discuss them. And as we go through these teams, I'm going to ask some of you to say whether you agree, disagree with what the consensus ended up being and why not. I've got a few notes here also of some, there were some big disparities in some of the voting of 20 plus points in some polls, so we'll figure out how that happened. But the number one team may not be much of a shock. The Virginia Cavaliers.
What the hell have they done?
Joby, you're who's number one? Number one, yeah. Overall right now by the consensus.
I was a homer and put us number one as well, but I think the number two overall seed will be another team that starts VI, I presume, and it's not a done deal between the two. Virginia, on the strength of a nice win, yet another nice win. Louisville, I would expect, is in our field, even with the loss last night. They keep winning, and winning against a pretty strong ACC schedule. Until that changes, I don't see how you cannot have Virginia number one.
Well, Joby, let me ask you a question here. This was a little bit of debate I had because I'm the one that did the bracketing here. The number one team overall under the new rules that started last year gets – The committee will actually contact the teams in contention for number one overall and ask them where they would prefer to play for their first and second round sites.
Well, Charlotte's a no-brainer. Charlotte will get the.
As the bird flies, Pittsburgh is actually 60 miles closer to Virginia, Charlottesville, than Charlotte is.
Charlotte would definitely be the choice. I presume Atlanta, the East Coast. What's the East Coast region?
Boston.
They choose Atlanta. If it was New York, then all of a sudden that's a real decision, especially if it was the Barclays, since that would be the third time Virginia would play at the Barclays in the season this season because ACC tournament's there. And they played the preseason in NIT. So but I think Atlanta makes complete sense
and the location. And Charlotte, more importantly.
Yeah. Charlotte, without a doubt. There's no brainer. They're going to go to the Carolina home. I mean, that's the goal, is to reach the Carolina, whether it's Greensboro, Charlotte, Raleigh, or Greenville, South Carolina.
I'm a big fan of this rule because it has essentially turned the committee into a genie that basically grants obvious wishes that the teams would have gotten anyway. Oh, good. Now Virginia gets to go to Charlottesville. I mean, as opposed to the committee would have just sent them there anyway. This is basically like a new rule that accomplishes nothing that wasn't already being accomplished, but I don't know why the hell.
Well, again, David, though, as the crow flies, Pittsburgh is closer to Virginia than Charlotte is, and that's kind of the question here. But I agree with Joby. I think that that Virginia would the Cavaliers would rather be in Charlotte than in Pittsburgh, and that's why I put them there.
And they're both direct flights out of Charlottesville, on America. Yeah, I know that for a fact. So,
they're not. They're both. Yeah.
Tytel, the number two overall team, also probably no surprise, Villanova coming in here. Just even though the votes were cast before the games tonight, a real nice win tonight over Creighton as well.
I believe by well over double digits, and I would take issue with this. I'm certainly not unimpressed with Virginia. They are one of the two best teams in the nation. Sorry, Purdue. I really think that Villanova, it could go either way. It's certainly not anything worth spending a lot of time on, but I would have these flipped.
Well, let me put the profiles up here. And why would you have them flip when you look at Virginia with the three top 10 wins there?
Because they got a bunch of other wins on the other side, and they've each only lost one on the road. And Villanova has played a lot more games neutral side, while Virginia's been sticking around John Paul the whole time. And the RPI is 1-2, and the resume and the metrics, and it's a coin flip, I suppose.
I see what you're saying there. You got 13 road and neutral wins, David, for Nova, only 7 for Virginia. That's a big disparity.
That is interesting what John Tytel points out. The resume metrics have Virginia number one, but the predictive metrics have Villanova number one. Very, very interesting across the board.
And if you're also looking at non-conference strength of schedule, Villanova was slightly more difficult, although Virginia was still respectable at 90.
Virginia, too, and the committee won't 100% do this, but it's remarkable how Virginia's out of conference did not perform to the level expected. Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, Monmouth, even weird teams like Monmouth not performing to the level they thought. So it is interesting that it wasn't that Virginia was shirking. So I don't think they'll be punished. I almost feel like non-conference punishes bad behavior more than rewards good behavior.
Well, Rocco, let me bring in here the number three team overall. Probably not a surprise as well here. Purdue coming in at number three.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear cut because the next two teams I think we'll discuss after this aren't quite up to Purdue's resume, and I don't think Purdue is good enough to be in the same discussion as Virginia Villanova at this point.
Well, number four, this is a bit more of a debate here at number four, though, David. Kansas did narrowly eke out that number four spot over the team that's going to come in at number five, obviously. But
I actually had them at number three overall, okay. If you can pull up the resumes here. I mean, I Purdue was on my one line, so at this point it's a little bit semantics. And, Kansas is going to Wichita and Purdue is most likely going to Detroit, or has that already been assigned? When you look at Kansas's profile, they have the win against Kentucky, and they're at TCU, at West Virginia, that is a lot of quadrant one wins, and almost all of them are away from home. It's just more than what Purdue's done. Is that – can we pull Purdue up? That's Duke.
Yeah, that is Duke, which was the team that
I think they've done more than Purdue. Yeah. I mean, they've done more than both of them, in my opinion. Now, again, a good profile, but I just think Kansas is a little bit better. They have one more loss. That's true. But I just think Kansas is a little bit better. Two of their three losses were at Oklahoma. That's kind of forgivable. And then Texas Tech, the only one you're kind of holding your nose on is Washington. And I think that that's offset by just the sheer number of the quality wins that they have away from home.
Well, let's – we got Kansas there. Obviously, I kind of already hinted at who's going to be number five overall, though.
You're good going, Jen.
Yes. And Sleek, I gave it away, but Duke, kind of a no-brainer coming in at number five. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with our top five teams? I guess maybe the bigger question is, are these the five teams in contention for one seeds right now?
I would certainly agree that Duke is going to be the fifth team here. But again, the only place you can really put them is the Midwest as far as keeping them somewhat close to home, because obviously you can't have them in the South because of Virginia. and you really don't want to put them in the East this early because you're starting to think of region balance issues. But they're obviously not going to put them all the way west just to keep a true S curve balance here.
No, they certainly would not do that.
I disagree. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rocco.
I was just going to disagree with John on the placement of Omaha. I know it's not a big deal at this point in the season, but I honestly think they would put them in Boston and try to reconfigure the threes and fours to do the regional balance, because it's all about. I mean, when it comes down to geography and placement, the money's going to come first to the bracketing.
There was a bracketing problem I ran into, which is why I think I wound up having to move Duke over to the Midwest. But if there's a way, well, maybe that I missed while putting it together, I could have put them in the East. They probably would have ended up there.
Yeah. Well, Duke would definitely love to be in the Upper East Coast, either New York or Boston.
Because Boston is a lot Nebraska. Closer to New Jersey than Omaha is, and New Jersey's where Duke is.
Exactly.
Titel, I already gave it away, but actually coming in at number six was Xavier, now inching closer to that one seed battle. Do you think the Xavier team can move up to a one seed if they keep winning? Or is that too far? Are they too far behind this other top five?
I mean, somebody a month ago picked them to make the Final Four, so I certainly think it's possible. I'll defer to Stalika, but I assume the Cincinnati to Pittsburgh drive is not too far. And as much as Virginia would be favored if it comes down to them in the Elite Eight, I mean, for Joby, I mean, this is the Joby John game, of course. And, like, it seems like you get Trevon Blewett and the whole offense against Virginia and the whole defense. I think it would be a fantastic game.
Yeah.
But as far as Xavier goes, it's actually they're closest to Detroit as far as the crow flies, but they're slightly closer to Nashville than they would be to Pittsburgh. So,
and getting
Chad may be giving away how some of the other protected seeds are going to be falling, given that this is the first time I've seen Xavier placed in a Pittsburgh sub-regional here.
Well, let's talk about something real quick. I mean, we're using the term protected seed. We should have identified this at the beginning of the show. You mentioned Detroit. Shouldn't a protected seed be protected from having to go to Detroit?
When you talk about protected seeds, they are the top 16 teams. All the teams that we're doing one at a time here that are in the yellow there, these are teams that by protected, what they mean is you're not going to be at a home court disadvantage in your first round game, which is pretty rare, but you can pretty much bet that Xavier is not going to be matched up with Duquesne or Robert Morris on the 15 line there, that Duke will not get UNC Charlotte there. Not that either of those teams would ever make the field, but that's right. The examples of what we mean.
Or Davidson, for that matter, but
Joby coming in solidly on the two line here at number seven. How about the Auburn Tigers?
I was definitely the highest putting them there. I think if you win what I believe may be the deepest conference they have, they won the challenge against the other deep conference, so to speak, recently. Auburn could have done more out of conference, but in conference they've been unstoppable. And they have been until they lose beyond just what was the Iron Bowl basketball version. I mean, Bruce Pearl, give him credit. He has done it. And if they plow through and don't lose again, you know, you're all of a sudden staring at an amazing one seed chance. Now they got to do that, and that's easier said than done. But I am starting to become, because they are doing it game after game after game, Tennessee, Georgia, these are good teams that are likely going to be in our field. Yeah. I like what Auburn's done, and leading the SEC means a lot to me.
And it's such a great story. Auburn, you know, building it right, doing it the right way with the right people. And I was trying to research this. I don't think any team in the history of the NCAA tournament has ever ended up on the two line after having their coach arrested by the FBI. assistant coach. I'm sorry. Not
assistant coach.
Where did Louisville wind up in ever?
Well, I don't. Yeah, well, I mean, if Louisville ends up on the as a protected seed, I'll stand corrected.
Well, Auburn did have to get sent out west here to the West region. One of the reasons is because Xavier couldn't go east because of Villanova already being there, and our eight seed not able to go west. A little bit of a giveaway who it is here, but David, there they are, the Oklahoma Sooners, number eight overall.
Right, and that's an interesting, again, a rematch, I think, of a Final Four game, that Oklahoma Villanova game. Oklahoma really struggling a little bit here lately. I think I had them close to here, but at the beginning I was thinking they were a potential solid one seed, losing 3 out of 4. Now they're not playing, the Little Sisters of the Poor either. It's not as if their schedule isn't incredibly challenging, but they have slipped a little bit. So if you're going to move any of the twos out west, it should be them.
Well, again, but they couldn't go out west because Kansas already out there. We can't have a second Big 12, which is why I ended up having to swap Auburn out west and sending Oklahoma to the east.
But they get a nice home game in Dallas because that is definitely where they prefer to be.
Right.
Yeah. Let's start with this.
Okay, so they went to the east. I'm not paying attention. I'm sorry.
Three states here. Another Big 12 team, Tytel. Texas Tech's on the 3 line and very close to the 2 line. If they hadn't they did win last night, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
Keenan Evans, and it's 38 points. I mean, what a nice reward to stay in Dallas instead of getting shipped out elsewhere. That's I don't think Duke will have a huge problem with them, but I like it for the 3 seed.
Also on the 3 line, let's see who comes up next here. Number 10 overall, the Clemson Tigers, a team that I think a lot of had kind of fading until Salika, they've proven now that they can still win despite the injuries, haven't they?
Well, they started off with a close win at Georgia Tech on Sunday night, but after getting a pretty decisive win against North Carolina, and we'll get into this later, the Tar Heels have their own injuries to deal with. Clemson looks like they're not going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and Rocco, do you agree with this, that Clemson is a 3 seed and pretty solidly so after the Carolina win at home?
Yeah, their resume is really nice right now. So if we're basing this on what has been accomplished to this point in the season with nothing predictive involved, I actually have them above Texas Tech for today. But I think, I think we're all concerned with the injury that the resume might start to dwindle, but I'm really good with it right now.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, winning last, I think they proved last night that they could, or 2 nights ago at
Definitely.
Least.
Yeah, I mean, it's a home win. You're right. It's a home win, so it's a really nice win.
Carolina's Rocco, they're never winning in Chapel Hill, so give them the home win.
That's right. Yeah, we'll give them the home win. But, I mean, I want to see what they can do with a little bit more sample size outside of Little John. Because that will tell us a lot. I mean, we can tell now with the matrix that a win against the number 10 team at home is equivalent to the win on the road against probably like number 40 or 50.
Well, I guess at Wake Forest, they should win. They've got 4 road games left. At Wake, at Florida State, at Vatek, at Syracuse. So you kind of circle
those.
Three of those are tough. I agree.
But But we'll get into this later. Florida State actually got snake bit at Wake Forest the other night.
Yeah.
Wrong
screen there. Okay. Let's keep moving through the 3 line here. David, let me go to Tytel with this. Is that Tytel, your Arizona Wildcats also making the 3 line there, going to San Diego in the West region where they want to be, I assume.
You think they love the California road trip of San Diego and Los Angeles. So many alums and students are from California. I think they will have a big home court advantage there, much like they do in Vegas in March for the Pac-12 tourney. Not that it always works out so well for us. I like that matchup with Auburn just because I still don't understand Auburn. Like, they're missing Purifoy and Wiley, and they're still playing like one of the best teams in the nation. And Kansas, man, I know they're not traveling 3,000 miles across the country, but the last thing they want to do is go to hostile territory on the West Coast to watch the Wildcats come to town.
Yeah, this would set up really nicely for Tytel's Wildcats. I mean, not only did they get to play the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas, which is almost a virtual home game every time Arizona plays, but then they're looking at San Diego and L.A. I mean, that is just going to be a really kosher March if it works out this way.
I don't know. When you watch this Kansas team and the way the season's gone, the further away you get them from Lawrence, the better their chances are.
But hasn't it also become a bracketing rule in recent years where Xavier and Arizona have to meet in the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
Please, no.
No, you're, well, we've watched the next team is a please no for me. So,
here is the team that Joby unfortunately is in Virginia's bracket for you, although not to
go
regional finals. Salika in the regional semifinal, Michigan State squeezing into the three line. A team, David, that is keeps picking up wins despite the now all the off court drama surrounding the team as well.
Yeah, and you wonder if that's impacting them at all. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, it's probably wearing on the coaches more than it is the actual players. Players just seem to be a little bit narcissistic. They're just kind of focused into what they're doing and in that. But they're picking up wins, but they're not really picking up wins against, like, protected seed caliber teams just because the schedule – doesn't allow it the way, I mean, when you look at everybody else that's on here, well, most of them are from the Big 12. They're playing teams of a higher caliber than what Michigan State is.
How many tournament teams this year has Michigan State beaten? How many?
We've only got 12 teams into the field so far.
And they haven't beaten any of those 12.
Yeah.
Just North Carolina, and it's on a neutral court. Not only that, but Michigan State's number 226 in non-conference strength of schedule. I think
Tennessee's. How did that happen? Good Lord.
Yeah.
their conference itself isn't very good.
They didn't schedule any true road non-conference games this year, and I'd be shocked if they got in over Tennessee right now with a true evaluation.
Well, and that was, Rocky, you just mentioned the next team up here, the first of our four seeds, that Tennessee team. Just an amazing season, really. I mean, I think I picked this team 12th or 13th in the SEC heading into the season. Still, I think it's an undersized team, but Rick Barnes getting it done.
Yeah, Tennessee's been really impressive, and they have no bad losses. All five of those losses are really solid. Yeah. You can't poke a hole in any of them. And they've got good wins, so I think it's a really strong resume so far.
But you know, there's also going to be an incentive for Tennessee to continue shooting up the seed list now, because they're still a few slots away from getting almost virtual home games in Nashville.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's the Clemson spot. They are big fans of Clemson imploding, because that's who's taking it. Because I don't think they can catch Auburn, and
they can beat Auburn.
They can beat Auburn. It'll be tough to pass Auburn unless Auburn implodes, though, even because Auburn's already beaten them once.
Yep.
So, it's Auburn's to lose. I think Clemson is who they need to fall, but you're right. You get them in Nashville, well, just you can pretty much write them up for the Sweet 16, because I don't see Rick Barnes. Oh, wait a minute.
Also on the four line here, North Carolina
really
Tar Heels.
We really couldn't get Tennessee to Nashville? Come on, Chad.
I'm sorry. Auburn and Clemson already took Nashville spots because Charlotte spots were already filled. But Titel, North Carolina,
going
three losses
Boise.
In a row now. For the two
Heading them to Boise.
I was going to say, can you skip them to play Arizona like as soon as possible rather than waiting until March?
Yeah.
A trip to Boise.
I would rather be in Boise than Charlotte. At least you got a neutral crowd.
If they asked Duke where they would like to go, they'd probably. Okay.
Also in Boise, the Cincinnati Bearcats. And Titel, is this, we've had this debate several times now. Is a Cincinnati team really protected seed with a ton of wins, but no huge wins?
Had you asked me in the first half of the Houston game, I would have said hell no, because they were dead in the water, and they came all the way back to win it. Stat of the day for now. I believe Cincinnati is 0-1 in the state of Ohio, and 0-1 in a neutral site loss to Florida, and undefeated in the rest of the nation. Like, how do you factor in a team that's only had one game in its home state all season? Unprecedented.
That is
it's true.
I have not been a fan of Cincinnati this year. How are they not on the one line after hearing that stat? They have every single win away from home.
No one else does. No one has this many road wins.
Are we scrubbing yet? Motion to move Cincinnati up to the one line after hearing that. That is amazing.
The last of our protected seeds just barely, and I don't really fully agree with this, but West Virginia, a team that is going in the wrong direction here, Joby, still getting a 4 seed, and they're not playing like a protected seed, though, are they?
No, I mean, they're living off resume. They gave the one loss to our overall number one, but then they've consequently lost at home a couple of times, most recently to a team I had higher than them, who I have a feeling will be number 17. And that would be a Big Blue, I had West Virginia. I had West Virginia still as a protected seed because they've actually beaten, as you can see, Virginia, Oklahoma. I think Missouri will be in our field. K-State has a chance in our field. Texas will be in our field versus the one that Michigan State has. Yes, I had them over Michigan State. You got to do more. Sorry, you just got to do more.
And this was.
It has done more.
And this was a team we thought was going to be a lock for Pittsburgh, given how they had come into early January, but given their slide, which I think is 5 of 6 now.
That's
why they're going all the way out west.
Iowa State loss is the most concerning. Without a doubt, that's why they're sliding. If they pull another, and that's the most recent game, they need to beat Kansas State. They can probably lose in Norman. But they got to win those home games they're facing, K-State, Oklahoma State, TCU, and then probably everything but Oklahoma and Kansas to hang, and maybe one mistake like in Austin or hosting the Red Raiders. Besides that, to keep their protected seed lane, they've got to take care of business, and they haven't as of late.
I think, yeah. Joby, I think they probably do have to do that. I think with their non-conference strength of schedule being really awful, they're in danger of other teams from behind coming and passing them up.
True.
So it's not as straightforward as it looks right now, just because they have that big risk of the lousy non-conference strength of schedule. West Virginia's got their work cut out for them.
Hasn't hurt Michigan State in the people's eyes, which I don't understand.
The Michigan State thing, the only argument I see for them is that their metrics are amazing. I think they're number 5 in KenPom. All the go-forward metrics, they're top 5 team, top 6 team. But this year's committee, from everything I've read, is still going to be very, very RPI heavy. And the metrics only come in when you're trying to break ties. And right now, I don't see Michigan State in a tie with anybody except for maybe West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I don't see how we could put them as a 3, but – that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I think it's – we look at the poll. I know the polls have them in the tie. I know this is a West Virginia discussion, not a Michigan State discussion to a degree. But
right,
the playing of Sparty lately, they failed the eye test. You know, it's one thing if the metric – they're failing the eye test for me along with having inferior metrics. That together means – I'm sorry, I like West Virginia and Big Blue more here as a protected seed.
I think I agree. I guess in terms of West Virginia,
West Virginia, like we said, 3 straight losses. Michigan State, despite everything, finding ways to win games, they've won 5 in a row. And that's kind of where it's like they look awful, but they find a way to win the game.
Mm-hmm. True enough.
Let's go ahead and
no ugly offs. There's no Iowa State loss on their resume.
David, here is all four or five seats at the same time, not 5.
The 5 line, just call it the 5.
Coming in, Gonzaga, Seton Hall, Kentucky, matching up with Cincinnati, and an interesting rivalry.
That one's always fun. I wish they played regularly. That's a fun one. They don't play often, but when they do, it's always fun. Boy, when they get to play in Boise, you know, 2 time zones away, it's even more fun. But, you know, I like this Kentucky team. At least I like their profile. I know that they really had to sweat out a game the other night. In fact, I don't even think sweat out correctly states how close they came to losing that. It took a loose ball foul with 2 seconds left, 70 feet from the basket, for them to force overtime. But all in all, they went to West Virginia and won. They're playing better now. I think they're turning it on, And if they're not there now, I think they will end up as a protected seed and maybe a dangerous one by the time the tournament starts if they continue to improve. I'm not as – Seton Hall had a nice win the other night. I do not disagree at all that they are not a protected seed. I had been saying that for a couple of weeks now, and I was right, and I'm glad that you all have now realized that I was right. I often am right. In fact, I'm always right.
We also have another rematch in the South. If you look at West Virginia and Gonzaga, they were paired up in the Sweet 16, and this was a game that I think West Virginia actually had control for a good portion of it last year, but
it was,
Gonzaga ended up coming back.
It was a tense game. It was a great game, really.
And I'm looking at two preseason top five teams playing, you know, with all that talent at North Carolina and Florida. That would be a real fun game. Paired up, actually.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, Joe, I was going to ask about that Florida team. I think they were narrowly behind Kentucky on this line here, but it was very close. You know, are they the third best team in the SEC, or is Kentucky behind the Auburn and Tennessee?
The West Virginia win, hey, there's still a reason why I have West Virginia as a protected seed. Mm-hmm. The West Virginia win gives Kentucky the advantage, whereas in the equivalent game, even though it was way long ago, that Florida had against Florida State, Florida State beat them. So that's that kind of edge to Kentucky right now. But both are showing a lot of the preseason accolades now are coming home. We're going to see, though, if, and this is a big one, if is this talent coming to the fore, but is it undisciplined talent that when I look at the top three teams in our bracket and in everybody's bracket, which is Virginia, Villanova, Purdue, do those teams, which I feel have problems playing teams that have juniors and seniors, will they run and fizzle, or will the talent overcome if they wind up as fours to the present top three? Be interesting to see.
Who knows what Florida is going to do on any given night?
Let's Florida, go ahead, David. You want to talk about Florida a little more?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that before the year's over, they're going to lose to Vanderbilt and beat Auburn.
Okay. Let me go ahead and I want to reveal the sixth line here. And Tytel, this is a potential second round matchup for your Arizona Wildcats, among other games.
Give me ASU, baby.
No, it was close. It was close. Arizona State on that sixth line, but it's Michigan that gets that sixth seed in San Diego.
They play again, don't they? They can't play till the Sweet 16. They play again, don't they? Arizona State.
Well, they're not in the same region.
In Tempe in a couple weeks, I think.
Right. Yeah. So they. Well, I mean, I was just saying you can't. Never mind.
It was not a possible match. You're right. Yeah. But what about these 4-6 seeds, Tytel? Rodeo to Ohio State, Arizona State, Michigan.
I'll take two of them. So what a shame to reward Rhode Island, who I believe is on their longest winning streak since 1940, and the reward is to play the Spartans in Detroit.
Oh my God. What's worse, Michigan State or having to go to Detroit?
And then I love that Michigan has to fly across the country sort of to play us in San Diego. We don't do so great against the zone, as you might have noticed, and Michigan's got the 1-3-1 with John Beilein, so a little concerning. And DeAndre Ayton has been playing like one of the best players in the nation, and I don't know how Mo Wagner will match up in terms of big body against big body, so I think we'll be favored.
I want to bring up – I mentioned that I would note some major discrepancies here. And Stalica and Joby, I want to bring you both in here on Ohio State. Stalica, you had them rated number 16 overall. You have them at number 30 overall. So, Stalica, what do you like about this Ohio State team? I'll pull their profile up.
Well, one thing I like about Ohio State is outside of the Penn State game, they haven't really done anything terribly offensive, but it's not Ohio State's fault that the Big Ten is down this year. I mean, Ohio State, they also have a non-conference strength of schedule of 36. That's what playing teams like Butler, Gonzaga, North Carolina, and Clemson will do for you.
Well, Joby, my report is it's not everybody that will be right behind that I had ahead of Ohio State's fault that the Big Ten sucks this year. You know, the fact is these other teams that I had ahead of them have proven, you know, hey, what is the metric I repeat over and over again? Are you beating teams you're going to play in March? I say that over, just like David will say road wins. You know, we all have our little stats we hang on to the most. Mine is, how are you doing against the field? Ohio State is not a bad team. I still have them wearing white. But, you know, 30 is still wearing white in the 8 game. But you beat Michigan State, who I've already spent 5 minutes kind of downgrading. And you beat Michigan, who I also didn't have the highest in the world. I actually had them ahead of Michigan. And you have an ugly Penn State loss, at home. It's they're not a bad team. Don't get me wrong. I actually like them from the eye test. But there are teams I like better, and I'm happy to explain why I like all the teams. Only one of the teams ahead of them also was low on the win total, but playing in the Mountain West, they have more of an excuse.
Let's reveal what might be some of those teams here. Let's show the 7 line. Rocco, let me bring you in on it here. We've got TCU, St. Mary's, Wichita State, and Creighton come here on the 7 line. Your thoughts on that?
I think I like where you got TCU. I like I'm really comfortable with Creighton there, and I think Creighton's going to have tons of ups and downs with the injury, but they play so well at home. They'll win enough home games to stay in that area. St. Mary's, they're a tough team to seed, of course, because they just don't have a lot of sample size. But I think this is a good place for them. I was curious as to why Gonzaga earned a 5. We didn't really address that, but if you're going to have Gonzaga 5, then St. Mary's needs to be somewhere pretty dang close to them, maybe even a 6, because wherever you seed Gonzaga, St. Mary's needs to be close at this point. And then Wichita, obviously, you're factoring in tonight's loss, I'm assuming, so I'm okay with them at a 7.
Actually, these brackets were cast before tonight's game, so this was before the loss. So all these outs were cast. This does not include Wichita's loss to Temple tonight.
I would have had them even lower.
Somebody was pressing it where they placed Wichita State. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Well, let me start with St. Mary's, though. Big discrepancy here. Joby, you had St. Mary's fairly high, all the way up at 22. Tytel, you had them all the way down to 34. Tytel, why do you not like St. Mary's as much as anybody else?
So you have to love the win-loss percentage. You have to doubly love the Gonzaga win because that's been their bugaboo in the past. If anybody else sees the Washington State loss, I think that after watching Arizona destroy them and put up a hundy spot yesterday, that is going to leave a mark. And obviously, like, when you're Gonzaga, man, outside the – no RPI top 50 wins.
Actually, I do love the New Mexico State win. Without New Mexico State, who I would have inside the bubble. Some might not have New Mexico State inside the bubble, but I do. And so I actually view that as a second win, so to speak. That is very nice. And not to start on a New Mexico State bandwagon, but, they beat Miami. This is a good team. And St. Mary's did it. As always, St. Mary's, I'd love to have more sample size against good teams, but for once their non-conference strength of schedule has a 1 in front of it instead of a 3 in front of it as the first number. Maybe we start rewarding that a little bit. And the Gonzaga win, I'm with Rocco 100%. I had both as a 6 seed. So that was – I had them side by side.
Yeah, they're very tough teams to seed because of that you can't compare – they're really hard to compare to the other teams around them. And that's what we're really doing here is we're comparing teams across the board. And so it's just if you're going to have one somewhere, you got to have the other pretty close to them.
Let's also get a TCU team out up here.
So I will say that. Yeah. The Texas win was very nice for the Zags.
They've got 4.
Mary's really
I agree that Gonzaga should be a little higher because they've got the 4 Tier 1 wins, but it shouldn't be too far off.
No, I agree. I have them side by side too, but that's why I had the Zags slightly ahead, but not
Slick,
much.
You want to address TCU?
Yeah. First of all, it has to be a punchline from Chad here making Jamie Dixon's triumphant return to the city of Pittsburgh. But on a serious note, look how well TCU has done, relatively speaking, even since Jalen Fisher went down with an injury. They did get a win at Oklahoma State and also had a pretty decisive win against West Virginia, even though that's showing as a Tier 2 win right now. So they're showing they can also win games with their current lineup as it is.
And they beat the Bonnies. But that Vanderbilt recent loss puts a little sour note on me. TCU certainly playing in the Big 12 is going to have opportunities. I mean, look at the next four games, Texas Tech, Kansas, Texas, and West Virginia, four pretty awesome teams, you know. But they'll have their opportunities.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go on to the eight line here. And Tytel, let me bring you in here in the eight line, which has Florida State, Louisville, Butler, and Miami, kind of almost an all ACC line other than Butler there with and Butler, an interesting potential Purdue matchup in the second round.
I was going to say, we'll go to Stalika for the Crossroad Classic. We'll go to Joby for the ACC rematch. Illinois, Louisville, talk about a couple of great programs in the 80s who are still relevant 30 years later. Kansas, Miami, I don't have anything great for, though. Although I think Jim Larranaga beat Kansas back in the day, or is that UConn I'm thinking of, maybe?
It was UConn.
Back in 06.
Mm-hmm. Overtime, yeah.
Yeah, after missing two free throws twice.
David, do you agree with this eight line? Is there somebody that you think we missed out glaringly on?
I think I agree with it. Louisville might be a little better than this. But again, there's plenty of basketball left to play. If they are, they'll play their way up. It's just in looking at the seven line, especially after the Wichita game tonight, I think they might be a little better. But, no, it seems pretty right on to me. Florida State kind of blew their foot off the other night at Wake Forest, but other than that, their profile is pretty good.
Well, Rocco, we just saw three ACC teams come in. Did we miss NC State somewhere along the line, or do you think that they're below these teams?
I think NC State's below. They have
I think I had them ahead of Miami.
Yeah, NC State's got some carnage in the loss column, and okay. So. They're going to be a little lower. But I actually like Butler's resume a little bit just because they don't have any losses outside of quadrant run. I know there's seven of them in there. But three wins, and now with a tournament-level road win against Marquette to go along with the Villanova win, I think that earns them a higher seven, but I really kind of picking,
I want to take a timeout here before Chad releases the nine line. How many of you think he's going to have NC State in the St. – well, never mind. They can't do it because of Louisville, but you know he's going to have someone opposite Villanova that's going to cause him more heartburn, it seems.
Let me jump back to Rocco's comment there on Butler, because I kind of agree. And I actually, of these two Big East teams that are on the screen now, Butler and Creighton, I would have had Butler rated above Creighton. Rocco, would you agree with me there?
Yeah, I've got Butler a couple spots ahead of Creighton now, which is pretty incredible, because a week ago I think I had them about 10 spots below Creighton, so they made a big move. But it's just the way things are shaking out, and a lot of it has to do with, of course, the opponents and how they've performed in the last week.
Well, let's go ahead, and I know Sleeka wants to see my nine line here. And there we go. And still no NC State. It is Texas.
Wow.
State, Louisville, Alabama, Butler, Nevada, Miami, Arkansas. David, wow, because of.
Well, yeah, where's NC State? How about I like them more than.
They have a Butler on that line, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like NC State more than just about all of them, unless they were moved down for seeding reasons. Like Arkansas, I like them. They've struggled a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about these teams before we talk about NC State.
I'm a little bit of it. It took long enough to get Texas up there. I mean, just they lost barely in Lubbock last night. That's not a bad thing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple teams here that I think are worth a few minutes of discussion. Let me start with that NC State team. Tytel, one of the reasons they are not on the board yet, you had them ranked very low. Did you want to defend why you had number 50 overall?
You want to throw up the profile? Because I think that would be the quickest way for me to attack them. So they have this amazing – this is like one of the most schizophrenic teams that I've seen in the nation all season. You look in the upper left quadrant. Those are four, not good wins, great wins. It's hard to win at the Dean Dome. It's hard to beat Arizona this year outside of the United States. I mean, that's easy to do. And other games are close. Beating Duke by double digits is hard to do. And you look at the losses, very tough as well. The Greensboro, Northern Iowa is not great. So I think that that's kind of why I would take them out. But no, the upper left quadrant can hang with anybody in the nation.
The other team I do want to discuss here is Alabama.
So why did you have them 50th? It sounded to me like you just talked them way up.
Well, they're certainly trending in the right direction, and like they have a nice, decent little schedule of Notre Dame and at Vautech before they have the heels in the rematch, which I don't think they're going to win. If they sweep North Carolina, put them in the top eight, sure.
Well, David, I put on the right side there is the Alabama profile. You had them 40th overall. Joby, you had Alabama 25th overall. Huge discrepancy there. So, David, what don't you like about the Alabama profile? Then, Joby, I'll talk to you what you do like about them.
Right there, you see that you got a column there that says record, and then you have something next to that. They've won one true road game. And the team, I mean, Texas A&M, I can't really give them a whole lot of credit based on when they won that game. I know it's appearing in quadrant run, but their only road win was at LSU, which isn't bad, but I just don't think it stacks up.
And I think that's fair enough. I really, I mean, man, three just outstanding wins. Yes. Oh, the losses kick your ass a little bit.
Rhodey wasn't at full strength either, were they?
I can do a mea culpa and say I probably had them too high, maybe a seed too high. But, man, Auburn, you know, Auburn, Oklahoma, Rhodey, that's a nice threesome to have. I hate the Vanderbilt loss, but at least Vanderbilt's done it to more than one. And Minnesota was early when we thought Minnesota was actually good. Very NC State-ish. Compare the two, and it's very NC State-ish. Though I did have NC State higher because as much as we can talk about bad losses on NC State, UNC Greensboro is actually not a bad team. They're a pretty good under-the-radar team. All right, Northern Iowa sucks. But though I would give NC State the credit on their big wins being bigger, I probably would – I had them NC State higher. I probably had Alabama too high.
But at the same time, if Alabama can get a road win against Florida, Kentucky, or Auburn, that's going to fill a big hole in their profile right there.
Yeah.
And if you are comparing two teams, look at Alabama's non-conference strength of schedule, 10. Look at NC State, 273. Ouch. That's all I can say is ouch.
NC State can't play with fire. If NC State messes around and finds themselves right on the bubble, I think they're well inside the bubble right now. But if they lose to the bottom three in the ACC, you know, and drag themselves down, the committee will punish them. And we've seen it before. NC State has less room for error than Alabama because of that non-conference strength of schedule.
That's exactly right, Joby. I think, I think if they wouldn't have won at North Carolina and they did pull it out in overtime, I would still have them on the bubble, and that would be one of the tiebreakers, and they'd probably be on the outside. That win was huge to get them safely inside.
Well, what about another team? Like, where's Missouri?
Well, David, let's show the 10 line here. Maybe
they need to be up on the 9.
Really wanted them on the 9 line for a reason, you know.
Finally, NC State is in there, matching up with Wichita State and potentially
Texas A&M. Oh, Lord.
A&M, Providence, Wichita State.
Look at where NC State is located here.
Yes.
Wichita State at a little bit of a disadvantage. Just a little.
They only played Duke once. I guess they do.
They only played Duke once this year, so that is a valid matchup.
Wow. Unless that crowd is going to be so one-sided. Duke is not liking that at all. That is a road game if NC State beats what I view as a not very good Wichita State game. So.
Now, we also have this all Big 12 matchup here in the 7-10 game between TCU and Texas A&M.
No, get with it, Chad. That's not the Big 12. That's the Southwest.
Sorry. But Rocco, what about this A&M team that we had given up for dead and suddenly it found a way into the field and even inside the first four here on the 10 line?
Yeah, I know David's not going to like this, but I agree on A&M only because I'm going with the approach, much like John, of guessing the committee. And the committee's shown us that it doesn't matter when you win your games or when you lose your games. It's about the full body of work. Texas A&M, they've got the road win at USC. It is their only road win, so I'm concerned about that. I think they do need to pick up a couple more road wins along the way. But the nice thing is the non-conference strength of schedule is at number 17. They've got 5 wins between the top 2 quadrants, which actually, when you start comparing these teams in this range, it is higher than the others. It's higher than Washington. It's higher than Mizzou. It's higher than Providence. And then they've only played 4 games against the bottom quadrant, which, you know, I think when you and I've talked to some other bracketologists about it, but you start looking at records, a lot of people just assume you throw out that bottom bucket and then let's see what their record is after that. And when you're only throwing 4 games away in a team like Marquette might be throwing away 8 or 9, I mean, it starts to stand out. So that's why A&M's still in the mix.
And I think Savannah State's actually the best team in the SWAC.
We'll get to our Miak. But let's the other two teams there were Providence and USC. But let's Tytel, let me go to you for the 11 line. And here it is. We see Missouri in there, along with Kansas State, New Mexico State, and Washington versus Houston in one of our first 4 games. Potential Pac-12 matchup for your Wildcats there in the second round.
We got the John Rocco game with Arizona-Washington. And then in the other part of the bracket, we get the NCAA investigation game between Chuck Hurst and Tony Bland with Auburn and USC. And the winner faces Arizona. It's like all of them right together.
This is a dream bracket. This is definitely a dream bracket. I love it.
Yeah.
I thought Tytel would be happy to see a New Mexico State matched up with Arizona State because I don't know if too many souls are going to be picking the Sun Devils in that one.
You sure?
Can we move the playing game out of Dayton so Washington and Houston don't have to go out there and then come to San Diego? I mean, that seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
They can't play that game in Dayton.
Rocco, I'm going to ask you about Kansas State. You had them ranked number 50th overall, so you probably wouldn't even had them in the field. Why not?
Yeah, they're my second team in, and I'm going back to my thing I've been harping on all night, which is the non-conference strength of schedule. It's the worst one out of any bubble team. 328, it looks like, is what they are currently. And it's I read a stat. I can't remember the year Air Force got in. I think we talked about it last night.
2004.
It was 06.
It was 06. Little Page was chair.
They did get in at 04, but it wasn't. That was actually a good selection. In 06, it was a ridiculous.
Yeah, when they got the number
draw lines.
Right. Yeah. So when Air Force got that number 13 seed, that was the last team out of all the tournaments since to get in with a 250-plus non-conference strength of schedule with a seed 10 through whatever as an at-large. So what that tells me is in a lot of cases, they're going to if they're going to look at a tiebreaker, this is one of the key ones. The other one is going to be away wins. So when I'm trying to figure out which teams are in and which teams are out, those are the two main categories I'm looking at. And Kansas State, if they're anywhere close to the bubble, I think they're going to get tossed out.
He's got a point there because – I don't know. I mean, the committee, it's fluid. For the longest time, it's like if you schedule that week out of conference, you better be inside the bubble because, you have taken a complete pass for yourself, so you better play your way in once you get in the conference play.
I'm actually very much in agreement, Rock. I had them barely in. They were one of my last teams in, and I could easily accept the argument. The problem I had was that I actually felt – there was a little bit of a gap for me between the teams in and the teams out. As a matter of fact, now I'm searching for one more team after tonight because I have a feeling one of the teams listed on the next game will be, we would all agree, should not be in this.
Well, let me do a preface this here. Actually, in terms of our rankings, coming in between the Washington-Houston picks on the 11 seed line and the two first 14 of the 12 side, Western Kentucky was sandwiched right in there. I gave them the automatic bid out of Conference USA, but they would have been within the at-large field. As we put them up here, as Western Kentucky, Loyola Chicago, East Tennessee State making that 12 line, along with Marquette and a team, once again, this was before tonight's results, SMU was our very last team in. David, your thoughts, at least on Marquette, I guess, and Western Kentucky, maybe not so much SMU.
Well, I had Western Kentucky inside the bubble. I had them inside the first four. I want to say I had them in the 10-line-ish range, so actually a little bit higher. I know that the – but, again, I'm coming at it at the approach that I'm not trying to guess the real committee. The real committee, at least the last two or three years, hasn't really – treated under the radar the way that they did before. I think Western Kentucky's won a lot of games that are hard to win, but they didn't come against top 50 teams. So it wouldn't shock me if the committee would put them here. They put Middle Tennessee here last year and UNC Wilmington. But as far as like how good they actually are, they did beat Purdue. You know, they won at Old Dominion. That wasn't an easy game to win. They've done a lot of things that are hard to do. Beat NC State, or beat SMU, I think.
In terms of SMU, I'm going to show our top four teams out because one of these probably would have been in over SMU had we voted after tonight's result where they lost. Salika, there they are. Middle Tennessee, actually, the number one team out. Do you think
nice that, win tonight.
Nice road win tonight also. You think they would be in over SMU at this point?
Well, I think on my own personal seed list, I actually had Middle Tennessee ahead of Western Kentucky. Western, I would have actually had number 51, but at the same time, we don't know what their result against UTEP is going to be tonight.
Not off to a good start, to be fair.
Yeah, they're kind of struggling that game a little bit, but I expect them to take over in the second half. It is UTEP after all. But let me show the other four. There's only four other teams that even received votes that did not get in. South Carolina, Syracuse, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Tytel.
Who voted for Syracuse? Who? Who was it?
Even the ACC guy did not. I want to stress that.
I can find that out for you here. It was not me. I did vote them. I did not have them in my top 50. Rocco's laughing. He may have been the one, but
no, I wasn't. I was not. I promise.
Tytel, if you're going to knock one of the first four out, who would you think is the best team on this list of eight teams that also received votes?
I really like Middle Tennessee a lot. Virginia Tech is going to have tons of opportunities, as Joby said, when you play in the ACC. Boise's been hovering. Georgia has a weird little resume. Rocco, like, are you certain Washington is better than Middle Tennessee?
Certain, no. Middle Tennessee's got a lot of talent. They're probably more I can't say they're more talented, but they could definitely beat Washington any given night. I think it's pretty close. The thing that Washington's doing well is playing really effective zone and playing together and all that stuff. And Middle Tennessee is too. So I like both those teams. I like the field for the most part. I really want to punish Marquette and I really want to punish Kansas State for their schedules and put in Middle Tennessee and Georgia. Otherwise,
Georgia. Marquette in favor of Georgia since Georgia beat Marquette.
Where are we sending Marquette? Like, where did they end up?
Well, one second. Before we get there, Rocco, you mentioned earlier throwing away those quadrant four wins. If we do that on these two teams on the screen here, Middle Tennessee, Washington. Middle Tennessee has 12 wins. Washington has only hasn't even played 12 games.
Nice 7-6 record.
So in the committee room, that would be tough. But the thing that Washington has that a lot of teams don't have is they're treating the Kansas game as a true road win. If you look at the NCAA official page. And so that gives the Huskies three true road games in quadrant one.
They're going to know that it was, they're treating it as a true road win because by definition it was, but the committee is going to know it was not in Lawrence.
And I don't think it's a huge difference because even a neutral win against number six, it looks really good, just like a road would. But you're right. It is a little bit less. And so either way, no matter how that shakes out, I just think compared to the rest of the bubble right now, Washington stands out because of that. Now, again, Chad, you make a really good point. If you go through the depth of the schedule and your entire body of work, which is what this is all about, there's not a lot of meat on the bone for the Huskies because there's nothing in quadrant two at this point, which is why this weekend is such a huge weekend for the Dogs.
Well, the other thing about the Kansas win, you have to keep in mind that it was a road win. Had they beaten Kansas in Seattle, they would have gotten a lot more credit for it.
Marquette and Georgia, the other two teams we were just mentioning. I'm not sure that I get this Georgia title. I mean, Georgia 13-8 with two quadrant three losses.
Horrible losses. I mean, I don't care if you go on the road against anybody in the bottom 200. You can't lose and make the tourney as an at-large. San Diego State, it was very early in the season, maybe. St. Mary's win is looking better every day. The Marquette loss, that's the whole thing, like Joby said, that was a great point. The non-conference strength of schedule is pretty craptacular. The road, it's a record 3-5. I mean, bubblicious at best.
Let's also get a Virginia Tech up here if we can, because this is another one of the teams that just missed the cut here. They've won three in a row recently, including a home game against North Carolina, and also a couple road games at Notre Dame, and even a Boston College team that has been tough to beat up at Chestnut Hill this year.
Duke couldn't do it.
How about that out-of-conference strength of schedule? Right.
That is a bit of a problem because Virginia Tech was missing in action for 2 months.
Again, that huge pile of quadrant four wins.
Couldn't find Virginia Tech because they don't televise Citadel games.
Citadel won tonight. Citadel beat Wofford tonight. Big win for the man. You should have seen their strength of schedule before that game tonight. It was about 290.
I mean, at least the Citadel's on the East Coast. What are you doing scheduling Houston Baptist? I mean, why?
The Citadel's worse. Well,
I mean, but Citadel's at least, you know, I mean,
yeah, at least they could take a bus.
Region, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Let me run through real quickly the rest of the field here. The 13.
Like Seth Greenberg comes back from the dead and makes his scheduling for bus. Yeah. I mean, come on.
You see South Dakota State, Buffalo, Vermont, and Belmont there on the 13 line. Look
at that line. Who's the Ivy League rep? Let's go.
14 line, Wright State, Montana, Louisiana, and UCSB getting Arizona. A little bit of a tough challenge there with the California school there, Titel.
Ex-coach.
Not worried at all unless Steve Nash is coming back to play for a 14 seed against Arizona.
15 line, Wagner, Charleston, Gulf.
Wagner all the way up there. All right.
Wagner's got good metrics.
Yeah.
Good metrics. Is it really fair for Xavier to only play one of Michigan's guys? Shouldn't they have like four other guys to go with Mo Wagner?
And we got a little breaking news on the 16 line. This news came out just the last couple of days here. Bucknell and Ryder, first of all. Radford and Pine Bluff in one first four game. Penn versus Savannah State in the other first four game.
Wait a minute.
Savannah State had been ineligible, but that has changed suddenly. You broke this news, John.
Well, to be fair, there was another reporter, I think, with Mid-Major Madness that had also broken this, because apparently on January 19, from my understanding, Savannah State applied for an APR waiver from the NCAA and has been granted such a waiver. So at least they are now going to have something to play for. Especially now that they're ahead by half a game in the MEAC.
And there they are.
Let's pull up Savannah State's profile here, because there was another statistic that we need to highlight with them.
Look at their conference schedule. It's pretty freaking, you know, it's pretty freaking.
Number one uno. All right. And the number one temp, they are a fun team to watch as well. I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're going to have a little problem if we're throwing out quadrant four wins.
But I'll say this, as I got to see the Virginia Savannah State game, there is a reason why it was smart of Virginia and Michigan State and these teams who think ahead to schedule this, because you want a different space of play that you might all of a sudden randomly watch and face in the tournament. That's why you schedule Savannah State. It's a good schedule for all of these tier one teams. They didn't lose, and they weren't close, but they got to see the style for a half for their starters.
That is – I am legitimately – I did not know that. And I am very, very happy to hear that they were granted that waiver. They deserve it. I really, really, really am pulling for that school. I have some – friends that have worked there and had since moved on because of the plan to transition down. But it isn't – I mean, how good of a story would it be if they made the tournament this year and then decided to stay up because they got the financial windfall that they were looking for? Anybody in Georgia, go see Savannah State. It's a fun place to go see a game.
I'm going to leave the screen up here for our final thoughts to run through each of you. Any final thoughts, either about what the bracket that we put together here or anything else related to college basketball? And Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun exercise. It's good to get the committee approach because it really gives us, you know, John and I do this on our own, and it gives us a good feel for what it would really be like in the room, perhaps. And, you know, I like our committee better. I think we're better than the real one.
I say that every year.
Salika.
I mean, you're going to have a good story if Savannah State makes a tournament, but at the same time, let's not lose sight of, North Carolina A&T, who themselves, let's not forget, they were also the centenary runner-up last year, and they're only half a game behind NCA&T. The only problem is we usually get chaos as far as the MEAC conference tournament goes, but that would actually be a whale of a title game if those two end up playing each other.
Yeah, and I would note that we did update the survival board tonight. We have one extra team added on.
Oh, yes.
We're upward ticking our survival board with this news about Savannah State, as well as I got the updated MEAC tournament brackets up on the site, so you can go up to the conference tournament tabs and check that out. Tytel.
So there's a couple of schools on here that I want to talk about, but not about this bracket. So we see Missouri is an 11 seed, and South Carolina is also considered. For those of you who were reading the news about their women's teams the other day, Tuesday night, ugly incident. South Carolina, your defending national champs, are hosting Missouri, and the Tigers women's team, they get spit on, allegedly called racial slurs by fans, after the game Sunday in Columbia. Just an ugly, ugly incident. I still don't know where the truth lies, because we have allegations from the Missouri AD Jim Sterk. We have South Carolina coach Dawn Staley, a Hall of Famer, defending her team's fan base. I wish it wouldn't have happened. Hopefully they can resolve it, get rid of the people who were the bad actors, and move on. But just a sad commentary that in a women's game with the defending national champs in 2018, such stuff is happening.
Yeah, that was just an awful allegations, at least. Hopefully they get to the bottom of it. Joby, let me turn to you.
Yeah, no, and the Missouri AD going after Dawn Staley adds another layer to this, saying it was her fault. It gets into a name-calling thing, definitely. Interesting components of our two bracket possibilities I wanted to point out right here. We could have, because I think Vermont can upset Cincinnati. Who on this panel doesn't think that can happen? I mean, come on.
I think it can happen.
I mean, Vermont beat Cincinnati. Likely they play Kentucky. Rematch. And we know in the first game it was a barn burner. So that could be a little fun game in the second round that we don't necessarily look to. Then I look selfishly at the my alma mater, Virginia. After playing Radford, who is often scheduled by Virginia, I think they rotate almost between Virginia Tech and Virginia. Then Virginia could play Florida State, who they played earlier this year, West Virginia, who they played earlier this year, Rhode Island, if they upset Michigan State, who they played earlier this year. Then maybe Clemson makes it out of E3 or whatever. You have Duke, Clemson, et cetera. You have an ACC team du jour. There's a chance Virginia can play all rematches the whole way through and what we've set up.
I just echo that thought on the Vermont over Cincinnati. You look into the East region there, I could see a Buffalo-Western Kentucky 12-13 game in that East region. Those teams.
Very easily.
Yeah. And I think Villanova has an incredibly easy region to win, to make it to the Final Four with only Oklahoma as a test in that region.
I would dare say watch Louisville in the second round, because Louisville can actually play defense. And I've seen the Big East play this year, and I don't know if anyone does play defense in the Big East. So it'll be interesting how Villanova does when they finally play a team that plays really lockdown defense.
Well, and as we know with Villanova, if they make it out of the second round, they win the national championship.
Exactly. Yeah.
David, let me let you finish it off.
We do this exercise. We're not really trying to guess the committee when we do this. Rocco and Tytel, try and guess the committee, and they do very well with it. But it seems like every year the committee relies heavily on the paper, and it seems like that's more true the last couple years, and not just the overall paper, but just like the quality wins, top 50 wins and all that. And what you always end up with, or at least you have the last couple years, is, in my opinion, a 12 line that is better on the court than a lot of the bottom half of the bracket that's also inside the bubble. So the 9, 10, and 11 line. And I'm kind of looking at this like, you know, Western Kentucky and East Tennessee State, I would almost rather play somebody else on the 9, 10, 11 line if I'm Seton Hall or Gonzaga. Those are two really good teams.
I'd agree with you. I guess, though, on that note, let's pull this down here. And I guess at this note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again next week with a whole bunch of more podcasts. But on behalf of John Sleekin, Joby Forsen up here, Rocco Miller, John Titel, and the puppet down there, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. And I do want to point out the best news of the night is that Nebraska did not make this field. So have a great night.
It's part of the conspiracy.